Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Next level knowledge. Next level knowledge. If I can draw your attention to verse 13 and 14, where Paul says, yeah, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Sunday, the 17th, we're just a few days away. Not only is this still the beginning of the year, still the start of 2021, it's an interesting moment because it's the start of a new year, but also it's the start of a new political cycle. It's the start of a new 4 years of presidential governmental leadership, and it could have been the Republican leadership. It could have been that, but it's not. This is a significant moment. There's been a shift. There's been a change from a Republican president to a Democratic president, and just to be honest with you, and I don't know exactly how you're going to feel about this, but I feel like since America is a democracy, that there needs to be a swing. There needs to be a balance of power. Both perspectives need to be heard for America. We have to be all right with the kingdom being kingdom and America being America. We have to be all right with the church being the church and America being America. As much as I'd love for America to be the church, the truth of the matter is that America isn't the church. The church is the church. We used to say back in the day, let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. As much as I'd love for your company to be a church, actually, we need your company to be the company, and let the church be the church. If the church can be the church, if my people who are called by my name can humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the government. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the economy. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the financial situation. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal what's going on in the medical world. If the people of God can just be the people of God. If the church can just be the church. If we could say, all right, we're going to be the church. So in my estimation, who am I that he's even mindful of me? But there's Republican perspective and this Democratic perspective. And when the pendulum swings back and forth, in my estimation, it is evil for either party to become overly dominant in the thought for too long. We need both sides. And this is a moment for us to come together. I don't know how you feel about the Biden presidency. I'm only talking to everybody here in America, but I know there are folk around the world who have a perspective about it. My African brothers and sisters have a perspective about it. And Indians, my brothers and sisters who are watching from India, Canada, all of the world is impacted by who is the leader of America. I don't know how you feel about it, but if you don't feel that great about it, that's all right, because he's not going to be king. He's not elected king for a lifetime. You just got to deal with the next 4 years, and we got to see what's going to happen in these next 4 years. And then there needs to be a leader that is elected for the best of everybody in the country for the next 4 years. And we have to be able to talk with one another and share with one another and be civil with one another. What happened to civility? Why can't we simply be civil? Why are we so divided? My contention is it is the devil that wants us as divided as we are. But back to my point, to get off my political commentary, back to my point, it's a whole new moment. And in my estimation, it's an awesome opportunity for all of us who are believers, wherever you may be, in any part of the world, wherever you may be on your journey, it's an awesome opportunity to face forward. I'm going to throw that on the screens for you. Face forward. My daddy used to say, eyes front. I don't know if anybody had a daddy that said, eyes front. I don't know if you know. My daddy used to say, face forward. It meant, I'm going to tell you where to put your eyes. Stop looking around. Stop being so distracted. Eyes to the front. Eyes forward. This is a moment for eyes forward. This is a moment to look at what's next. This is not necessarily the moment to just look back. Okay, whatever it is that took, whatever it took for us to get here, we here now. Now eyes front. I'm not saying we should forget history, but I want us as the church, black, white, Hispanic, brown, yet whatever color we may claim to be, it'd be awesome if as the church we can do what Paul suggests we do. And it's a real challenge. It's a real challenge. In my estimation, it's what I mean when I say face forward. It's what God is saying to me in this time of consecration is face forward, boy. Get them eyes forward. Fix your eyes. What you looking at? Face forward. What you looking at? Head up. The face forward perspective can be challenging. And it's laid out in these few verses. And I don't know if it's just me. I can't get off this Philippians chapter 3 passage. Every time I open it up, I see something new. But when I look at it, I see this face forward perspective. The first part of it, number one, is in verse 13, because he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I think that these verses are powerful, but they're tough. And the first part of the toughness of it, the first part of it is, I consider myself lacking. He says, brothers and sisters, when I look at myself, I see my flaws. Woo, I got to sit down for this one, son. When I look at myself, I see what's missing. When I look at myself, I see what's lacking. When I look at myself, I say, I got a ways to go. Woo. When I look at me, I think, woo, there's got to be some work. If I'm ever confronted, I can say, hey, can you just be patient with me? God is not finished with me yet. When I look at us, son, World Overcomers, I'm like, oh, we got work to do. Oh, we got a ways to go. We have not done yet that. When I look at myself, brothers and sisters, men and women, when I consider me, not what anybody else says about me, not what the world says about me, not how I compare to other men or compare to other women or compare to Americans or compare to other Nigerians or compare to other Canadians or compare to other Indians or compare to other folk from Ghana or how I am in comparison to other black people or how I am in comparison to other white people. When I consider myself, not how many followers I have, when I look at me, when I judge me, what I do is I consider that I'm lacking. I would contend that a part of the reason why the enemy had people attack us, had people tease us, had people crack on us on the bus, had men hurt women so much, had black women hurt as much as he's had them hurt. My contention is that a part of the reason why there's such an attack against women, and particularly an attack against women of color, is because if there's enough of an attack, you will build a self-esteem that goes too far. You'll get to so feeling good about yourself that can't nobody tell you nothing. You'll get to feel so good about yourself that you think you look good in everything. And sweetheart, you don't look good in everything. You'll start to feeling so great about yourself that can't nobody confront you. You get to feeling so awesome about yourself. You have been so subjected and so hurt and so wounded that now you're always right. And you are unable to take an honest assessment of where you honestly are. You come from people so broke that you think your little bit of money is having money. You are around people so dumb that you think your little bit of education makes you smart. You're coming out of a world where you have been so abused that you are unable to now rationally see where you really are. You have never had a daddy. You ain't never had a father. So you ain't never had somebody that says, yeah, but I'm not going to qualify and I'm not going to support a feeling that you have that's not rational. So you find yourself saying stuff like, well, you don't support my feelings. Well, that's because you ain't never had a daddy. If you had a daddy, see, the enemy has stolen your daddy from you, so you don't have anybody that says to you, yeah, but face forward and pick your lip up and move it and rub it and keep on going and keep on. No, no, you have, your feelings have been so honored that you're oversensitive. My God, I didn't expect to go here. You've been so raised by your mama that now you're so sensitive, your feelings can be hurt too easily. Now when it comes time to make an honest assessment of yourself, the minute anyone lays down any kind of facts, all you talk about is how you feel. I mean, yeah, it's the truth. I mean, yeah, I'm always late, but you didn't have to say it like that. That it's not about how I said it if it's true. Paul says, I've learned the start of this is that when I look at me, I say, I have yet to reach it. I say, I'm on my way. I wish I could hear somebody say, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Why is Bill Gates still working? Because he's on his way. Why is Oprah still going? Because she's on her way. Because when she considers herself, when people who are great consider themselves, why don't LeBron James just hang it up? Because when he considers himself, he doesn't yet have thought that he has attained it. Everybody want to talk about whether or not LeBron is as good as Michael Jordan, except LeBron. LeBron's like, look, can y'all leave me alone? KD's like, yeah, I don't even bring up Michael Jordan. Even if I thought I was as good, I wouldn't say I was because it will rob me of my drive. When I look at me, I think I got work to do. We don't like folk that don't have this perspective. We it's tough to adopt it, but we don't like folk who don't have this perspective. Any athlete that's interviewed, we don't want any of them to say, oh, yes, well, I'm just the best at this point, and I'm the best in the game, and I'm at the top, and I really can't get any better. And that we will look at them and be like, oh, my God. No, what we want them to do is say, hey, I'm just getting better every day, and I'm just working, and, hey, we're just trying to come together, and we're still playing our best game, and we're still trying to get our rhythm together. And actually, if it was as I'm glad, but you know what? My team was open and my team looked for me. And did you see how they played defense? If you are secure in yourself, you can admit you didn't do it all by yourself. And you haven't got there yet. Tom Brady and all his Super Bowl rings and decides to go to another team in another division to try to win another Super Bowl. He's rich, he's done. He's done it all. Why isn't he sitting somewhere? Why ain't he chilling? I know there's a whole lot of us that are like, if I had Tom Brady's money, let me tell you right now, I would be sitting, boo-boo. If I had that money, a whole lot of dudes, if that was my money, I had his money, and that supermodel was my wife, I wouldn't be doing nothing. Yeah, but that's why you're not Tom Brady. Because when Tom Brady looks at himself, he's thinking, I yet to have taken hold of it. Tom Brady ain't walking around talking about he's the GOAT. Everybody else is saying he's the GOAT, but you ain't heard that come out of his lips. He's like, well, I'm still playing, and well, I'm still trying to get better, and I'm still learning, and his new coach yelled at him a little bit, and they met with him afterwards. Like, how do you feel, and how's your relationship? And he's like, well, I'm a player. I have to be able to be coached. See, this is this world that we live in, son. It's a story if somebody fuss at you. The head coach fuss at the quarterback, and we almost expect a quarterback like him to say, who are you talking to? I'm Tom Brady. You better back up. I would have won more. So you ain't Bruce Arians. You ain't won a Super Bowl yet. You better step off. I do what I want to do. Yeah. That person doesn't win. Man, I didn't mean to spend this much time on this point, but I'm flawed. Can anybody say I'm flawed? You're flawed. You're flawed. Why can't we admit this? Why can't we admit the country is flawed? Why can't we admit our parties are flawed? Why we have to act like one particular party is divinely appointed? And the other one is divinely imperfect. Both are flawed. They're both full of people. We about to inaugurate another old white man to take the place of an old white man. I mean, yeah, they're different, but they born around the same time. They from the same generation. They both were raised during segregation. Neither one of them went to school with black people. They're both flawed. Donald Trump flawed, yep. But so is Biden, and so is Kamala. Oh, you done blaspheme now, Pastor Andy. You done spoke against the black. Yeah, my camera people are like, don't talk about Kamala because we're going to lose viewers. What I'm saying to you is you're flawed. They're flawed. You're flawed. Everybody that stormed that Capitol's flawed. Everybody that caught them is flawed. Everybody who's going online, finding their pictures, and reporting who they are flawed. Sure, they're flawed, but so are you. Well, I'm not flawed the way they are. Okay, I didn't say that. But what I'm saying to you is, before you get to judging, just understand that you need to have an honest perspective about yourself. My God, this is what happens when I'm fasting. I just get stuck. Help us, Holy Ghost. The Lord told me to say this, and it's all of us have got to be patient in my dissatisfaction. Patient in my dissatisfaction. Having a conversation with one of my physical sons, and I was saying, not just spiritual sons, one of my boys from my loins. And I was saying to him, yeah, you're just going to have to be patient. A part of the challenge of this world is everybody get things too quick. And we are looking at people who are rich and can't handle the money. We're impatient when it comes to change, especially if you don't smoke some weed. Especially if you've been involved in drugs, the challenge of drugs, the challenge of drugs is after a couple of puffs, you feel different right away. Problem with alcohol is you take a couple of glasses, you take a couple of shots of it, and you feel different right away. And I get that, but you have to be careful that it doesn't make you impatient when it comes to real change. Because real peace don't come from a plant, and real peace don't come from a bottle. Who am I talking to? A peace that passes understanding, that'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Even if you use that drug as a bridge for a minute, my God, you better not become dependent on that, because real peace requires patience. I'm patient in my dissatisfaction. I'm not so insecure that I have to convince myself that everything's perfect. Okay, move on. My Lord. The second thing he says in these verses, it's going to take up the whole sermon. The second thing that he says in these verses, he says, not that I've considered myself, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The second thing that's in these verses that's tough is, and I think I said this in one of the past sermons, and that is that my one thing is a verb. My one thing is a verb. My one thing isn't just something I want. Well, if I can just get a million followers. My one thing isn't a verb. My one thing isn't a noun. My one thing is a verb. My one thing isn't a thing. My one thing is a verb. I think I misspoke a couple of seconds ago. My one thing isn't a noun. My one thing isn't a thing that I can attain. My one thing, whether I look and say I want one thing or I need one thing, if in my mind I'm saying if I only had this, if I only had that, but I realize that my one thing isn't something I want. My one thing isn't something that I need. My one thing isn't something that I lack. My one thing isn't something that I fear. I've heard people say to me recently, I'm just scared of one thing. There's only one thing that scares me. I hear you. But that's not the one thing you should be talking about. Paul says, my one thing is a verb thing. My one thing I do. And that one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Number three, it's a one thing, but my one thing is a doing thing. It's hard. The one thing is a doing. The one thing is not an acquiring. The one thing is a doing. And that one thing, number three, is next level, the prize. Next level. The prize. I'm forgetting what is behind. I'm straining towards what is ahead. And I press to take hold of this prize. In my lesson this morning, this afternoon, whenever it is you're watching this, if you can give me time, it looks like the Holy Ghost got me here, and I'm going to go ahead and break it down for you. But if you look at the verses, you'll see that this prize can be defined in two ways according to these three or four verses. Because in verse 12, he said, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So the first way that Paul describes this prize is that for which Christ took hold of me. There's one thing I do, and that is I'm straining toward what is ahead. I'm straining towards the prize. I'm forgetting what's behind. I still see it. I know what happened. I know where I came from. I know what I accomplished. I know what we did, but I want to strain toward what is ahead. I was watching something on some social media platform in which they were basically interviewing people that were saying, yeah, we got to make America great again. And they were like, okay, well, like when? Like when? Make America great like when? There's almost no thing you can say that won't get you in trouble. Almost nothing. And before you go judging these Republicans, I can say the same thing to you. If I said to you, when would you like to go back to? And you say, well, I just wish I could go back to when I was 15. You mean when you was dumb? You mean when you didn't know nothing? You mean when you weren't experienced? You mean were you even saved then? I mean, that's the challenge of it. The challenge of, again, is that it's trying to get something in 1913 to be irrelevant now. It's time to get something in the 1940s. One of them said right after World War I. He said, oh, so while there was still segregation and while it was still Jim Crow and back when black folk couldn't vote and back when white folk, oh, and when there was no liberties and we were really powerful right when the country was first born. Oh, back when there was slavery. Oh, back when black people were still property. That is almost, what's the point? The point is that there is no again. F- I can just get my church back to where it was before COVID. There is no going back to where it was before COVID. If I can just get my relationship back to where it was before we had kids, baby, you might as well forget about that. Them kids done changed everything forever. Them kids done changed you. Them, your body not the same. You tired. It's not, if you can't go back. He says, I press to take hold of that. I'm off my point. I'm pressed to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. In other words, God's purpose for my life. Oh, Lord, I'm just in the introduction here, son. And I don't see how I'm going to get to the meat of the message. I don't see how I'm going to deal with Psalm 24, but it's okay. God's purpose for my life, I press to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Woo. There's so much in those words. There's so much in that verse. I could preach a sermon just on that. Because it starts by acknowledging that you're not in control. It starts by acknowledging that you didn't have enough sense to get saved. It starts by you acknowledging that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, it starts with you acknowledging that there was a bunch of you sitting in that service, and the thing that pulled you to the altar was God. Where it says nobody can come to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I called you to be my disciple. I called you. I chose you for you to bear fruit and fruit that will remain. Stop acting like you made some choice. Stop acting like, well, I mean, if you have a perspective of, oh, what's the new year? And I just, you know, like, world overcomers, you know, I'm going to do a better job, you know, and just tuning in and just, I need to add more of this to my life. And Pastor Andy is so positive and he's kind of funny and, you know, it's very different church and I'm just going to add this to my life and just start off every week with some Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's nice, but that's a consumer perspective. And you will only be but so close to God. You won't really ever know him with that as your perspective, like he's something you add to your resume. Like you're trying to get some kind of position so you can put it down on paper. Yes, I'm also deacon of White Rock Baptist Church, and where the Reverend Johnson T. Smith is our doctor pastor. As long as that's all church is to you, that's all church will be to you. Paul says, well, I start off by realizing that I have to press towards the reason why God took hold of me. That I acknowledge that this thing is about his purpose. We are in a moment in our history. In the body of Christ, you have to forgive me for sitting down. I ain't eaten 2 weeks. I help us all, but that's all right. Y'all are sitting. Like I said, that you have to realize that we are in a moment in our history. We are in a moment within the body of Christ where we love grace, we love mercy, we love favor. We love that. We love the mercy of God. We love the grace of God. We love the favor of God. I'm not knocking it. I love his grace and favor too. Because I couldn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. I'm just as flawed as everybody watching. If you heard me say it once, you'd have heard me say it again. I'm just as flawed as anybody watching. Anybody flawed. Anybody can say, I need him. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Anybody got something they ashamed of? Anybody did anything last night? Do you see my hand up? Anybody do anything that they're like, whoa, my God. Can we get honest for just a second? We all need grace. We all need favor. We all want Romans 8. We all want all things to work together for our good. That's what we want. We all want it to somehow work out for our good. We even want our mistakes to work out for our good. Anybody where your mistake worked out for your good? How somehow God took the mistake and worked it out for your good. Somehow God took the evil and still worked it out for your good. And you look back on something that you're ashamed of, but you can see how God used that thing because he's God like that. And because he can take the stuff you're ashamed of and turn it around for your good. But that happens when you are the called according to his purpose. See, we leave that part out. We want a carte blanche trump card. I can use that word again. Huh? We want a carte blanche trump card that just greases over everything. We want love to cover a multitude of faults without acknowledging that the quantifying thought in there is that I love God and that I'm called according to his purpose. We want all things to work together, and I love me, and I'm a call to my own purpose. I want all things to work together, and I love Jay-Z, and I'm called according to the hip-hop purpose. I want all things to work together. I love me some Kim Kardashian, and I want all things to work together for the good. I want to love Kim and be called according to the big hip purpose. That we want a separate purpose. Where what happened to the Christian that said, what is God's purpose? What happened to the believer that prioritized God's purpose? What happened to the believer that looked around and said, man, I'm saved. Why would God save me? Why would God use me? Why would God heal me? Why would God? I want to make sure. I'm already flawed. So if nothing else, I want to make sure that God gets the most out of me. David said, Lord, if you let them kill me, who gonna praise you? Lord, I know it ain't about whether or not I deserve it. Lord, I know I'm flawed. Lord, I know I'm flawed. Lord, I know I done made mistakes. Lord, my mistakes are so lined up. It's all against you and you only have I sinned, Lord. But here's the thing. If you let my enemies overwhelm me, who gonna praise you? Who gonna tithe? Who gonna give? Who gonna serve? Who gonna tell everybody about you? I don't want grace just for grace's sake. I want grace because I know that you won't use me. I know you have a purpose, and I want to be called according to the purpose. And there's a confidence that comes from knowing that I'm called according to his purpose. Then he says, and it's the second way that he defines this prize in verse 14. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I know we don't talk about this a whole lot, but the second way that I'm defining next level or the prize is the heavenward prize, a crown. A heavenward prize. A crown. I want to hear him say, well done. I recently saw that new Disney animation movie, Soul. I saw Soul. I don't know if you saw it. It's pretty interesting, pretty cool. But as I watched it, I thought to myself, Lord, my God, I want to hear you say, well done. I want you to tell me that what I did in this body, I'm going to have to give an account of it, and that I acknowledge that I will have to answer. That I acknowledge that there will be a quantifying judgment. I have to acknowledge that there will be something that will happen when this life is over. And it's not just, I want to make it to heaven. Certainly, I want to make it to heaven. But at this point, I'm aiming for more than just to make it to heaven. I want a crown. I want to hear him say, well done. Paul talks about that. That I want to know, how did I do? I want to hear the Lord say, man, you did pretty good. I don't know about you, but I'll be happy with a pretty good. I don't want a fair, but I'll take a fair. I'd love a B. If I get a B, that'd be awesome. If I can walk through there magna cum laude, that'd be awesome. But I'll take some laude. I'll take some well done. I'll take some, all right, good job. Because I know I've messed up. I know I've wasted time. And I'm saying, Lord, give me a little bit more time. Lord, I haven't got long to stay here. Lord, let me make the most of my opportunity because the days are evil. But I acknowledge that I've been called heavenward. That I'm forgetting what is behind and I'm straining towards heaven. I think there was a time when we were straining towards heaven so much that we ignored the earth goals. Most of us was raised by folk, especially if you're African American. Most of us were raised by people where the earth goals were so denied us and so limited that heaven is what they talked about the most. I got shoes and you got shoes and all God's children got shoes. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes. I'm going to march all around God's heaven. I got clothes. You got clothes. All God's children got clothes. And when we get to heaven, we're going to put on our clothes. Because we were raised by people that were coming out of slavery or out of Jim Crow or out of segregation or out of abuse or out of discrimination. And they could barely believe for anything in the earth that was attainable. There wasn't enough attainable in the earth. When I first started preaching, when I was 15, 30 years ago, when I first started preaching, my God, has it been that long? 35, 36, 30. When I first started preaching over 30 years ago, that was my message. But now, in a sense, we done swung the whole other way. Thinking so much about earth and so much about cars and so much about the stuff that we have that we have stopped focusing on the fact that there is a heavenward call. That there's something that's going to happen in heaven that I want to be ready for. I don't want to just store up treasure for myself on earth. I also want to store up treasure for myself in heaven. That this earthly work is not eternal. That if this earthly tabernacle is destroyed, I have an eternal, I got an eternal sanctuary, I got another place in the heavens, a place not made with human hands. So to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we have to encourage one another with these words. This is next level. This is next level thought. This is a high goal. I know you're thinking, wow, PA, that's a high goal. That's a lofty goal. And to reach that, I need next level knowledge, which is the title of this sermon that clearly is not going to be answered. I need next level knowledge. How do I attain that goal? How do I attain the goal in which I say I consider myself lacking? There's one thing I do. It's a verb thing. And I'm straining towards the purpose of God and a heavenly prize. How do I do that? To do that, you're going to need next level knowledge. And I've got next level knowledge here to help you to do that. And if you want to hear that, you're going to have to tune in next Sunday. you have to come on the 24th. You'll have to tune back in, and you'll be able to hear that word. Anybody hear a word from the Lord today, this morning? Can I get you to give before you go, before you shut down? Can I get you to give? Can I get you to sow? I want an offering. We need an offering. World Overcomers needs an offering. The church needs an offering. The body of Christ needs an offering. Your tithe belongs to God, but we need an offering. Quick, quick, quick. I don't want to hold you too long. It's on the screens. It's been on the screens the whole sermon, but we'll throw it up one more time for you. If you just text WOE online to 77977, you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. I've been asking for $50, and I'm asking for $50 again, an offering above and beyond your tithe. Sow into the work of the kingdom of God. You can do it at any time all week, but there are many of you right now, this message you heard, you're being prompted by the Holy Spirit more than even $50. I don't want to give it. I don't like to give a number. I've been given a number for almost a year just to help you. But really, you ought to hear from the Holy Ghost, because the word says that each person should give as they've decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under a compulsion, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Deciding in your heart is not the tithe. Clearly, this is an offering that he's talking about, because there is no deciding in your heart when it comes to your tithe. No, we're talking about the offering. We're talking about the opportunity to be generous. We're talking about the opportunity for you to now sow above and beyond what you normally give in your tithe. The tenth belongs to God. This is an offering. This is the second offering. I want you to sow into the word that you heard. That's first. Sow into the word that you heard. Understand and know that everything that you give in this offering is going to go towards what's next for World Overcomers. It's not coming to me. It's going into what's next for World Overcomers. God has a place for us to go. God has a move for us, and I'm excited about it. My ability to focus on what's next, my ability to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead, a lot of times that is directly reflected by how I sow. I'm still alive because I'm sowing. I'm still breathing because I'm sowing. I'm still breathing because I'm giving. I'm still breathing because I have seed in the earth. I got seed in the ground that's opening a door for me, that's making a way for me. But what's more is I'm living by faith and not by sight. Can I get you to give? I'm not going to beg you, but I want to give you an opportunity for you to be generous. You're still working. That's the Lord. Not only are you still breathing, but you're still working. You're still getting a paycheck. Look at God. Sow into the work of the kingdom of God and expect a harvest. Tithe belongs to God. Expect a harvest off of your offering. And with the measure you use, it's measured unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you again. It's not talking about the tithe. Give, and it shall be given unto you again. A good measure, pushed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your lap. It's not talking about the tithe. It's talking about this moment, the offering. If I haven't taught you this, I'm teaching it to you now. I've been teaching it for a while now. I don't go anywhere and hear any kind of word and not sow into it. It's the offering. I got to sow into that word. I got to activate it. And I acknowledge that with the measure I use, it's measured unto me. Let's give. Come on, bow your heads, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to hear a word. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be called according to your purpose. You came to do two things: to destroy the works of the devil and to establish your church. That church, God, is your universal body. That church is the local church. So God, as we sow, as we give above and beyond our tithe, God, I pray that all things work together. I pray that COVID will work together. I pray that what has happened will work together. I pray that the riots will work together. I pray that the challenge will work together. I pray that the loss will work together, because we love you and are the called according to your purpose. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally. Bless gift, bless every giver. Take them to the next level. We promise to praise you for what you do and what you say. You're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. So glad you're with us this morning or this afternoon, whatever it is that you're watching us today. Whenever it is, it's Sunday for us, but it could be Tuesday for you, whenever it is. So glad you were with us. Wednesday night, we're doing devotional Bible studies from my house. My God, sometimes from one of my sons is ministering from their house or from an office. And I've been sharing just where I am devotionally, what God is saying to me. I trust you can handle it. I know it's a little tough. Sometimes it's a little hard. It's a little raw. Help us, Holy Ghost. But it's what the Lord is saying to me. And when I'm fasting like this, what God says to me is a little scary. But that's what's happening on Wednesday nights. We would love to see you back on Wednesday night here next Sunday. I left you hanging today talking about next level. Next Sunday will have to be next level part two or next level knowledge part two because I didn't even get into any of the knowledge that will help you to get to the next level. But that's all right. Come back next Sunday and I'm going to share that with you. And this is a moment for you to share what you heard. Don't you dare share a TikTok video and don't share this. Don't you dare share a link to some ad and don't share this. Don't you dare share an Instagram video and don't share this. Because the word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it has the power to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Nothing can judge your thoughts and attitudes like the word. We want to see you back here next Sunday. I got a word for you. Share it with somebody. Tell somebody. There's a preacher somewhere. This crazy guy, he is dropping word. See what God would say to us. Let me pray for you one more time. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord God, that we are blessed from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. God, we pray that you bless us coming and going. Do what you promised. God, we pray that you bless us going in, coming out. Bless us in the city. Bless all of us in the fields. Lord, bless us in everything we put our hand to do. Lord, as we turn the corner as a country into a new administration, God, I pray that you'll make the stuff from the last administration work for our good and the things for the new administration work for our good. Don't let us be so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Don't let us be so politically minded, we're no earthly good. You are the King. Who is the King of glory? You're the King. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people and give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Till we're together again, in Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. See you next time. See you next time.